Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Hear the bells, time to sing. Decorations up since spring. Family, where'er I roam, fresh bread smell in every home.
9 months of isolation, just my family and I. We watched our fill of Hallmark movies way back in July. Christmas will be different, warding grandparents away. Switch out your day pajamas for your holiday PJs. Love and joy come to you, and a COVID Christmas too. Just remember, it's the best time of the year. It's a cozy COVID Christmas, and it's pulling at your heart. It's a cozy COVID Christmas, and it's spent 6 feet apart. It's a cozy COVID Christmas with our family oh so near. We wish you a COVID Christmas and a happy new year. No daycare for the kids, and all the schools are all on pause. Moms are showing gray, and dads have beards like Santa Claus. The only sanity is when the kids go down to sleep. We drink our weight in wine and wipe down presents for the tree. Love and joy come to you, and a COVID Christmas too. Let it snow, swab your nose. It's a cozy COVID Christmas, and it's pulling at your heart. It's a cozy COVID Christmas.
Oh, well, good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to all of you. It is a sausage fest today. We got Steve Silva's in the room cracking up.
I love you, Justin.
Producer Zach's in the room.
Hey, wow.
And, of course, we also have intern Christopher.
Howdy-ho there, world.
And I am Sean Roberts, and together we are your Weekly Dose podcast. Unfortunately, we are missing Amber this morning. She is not feeling too well. So, but we will hopefully try and give her a call a little bit later on, though.
She called me this morning in tears because she's in so much pain.
Yeah, she's got some lady business going on, and she's in pretty much pain. So, yeah. But anyway, as always, we are streaming live to you here from Orange County, California, every Saturday morning. And also, we want to say hello, Delmarva Radio.
Oh, yeah, Delmarva Radio. You know, it's pretty cold out there right now. It's about 48 degrees out in that area right now. So, yeah, it's a little cloudy, and, well, anyway, good luck with that.
Yeah, no
but,
kidding.
But good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, then you turned into the right podcast.
You can't turn into a podcast. You can turn into a Steve.
Well, you can turn into
an alley if you want to. Anyway, we're the only ones that continue their radio traditions.
That's right. And of course, those of you who recently joined us, thank you so much. We have hit over 1,000 followers on Facebook. We can't thank you guys enough. And probably a lot of you are also probably wondering, when are we going to announce the winner of our contest that we've had all month long, basically.
Yeah, I was wondering. So, I hope I win.
Yeah, well, no, you can't.
What? Entered about 20 times.
Yeah. We noticed. But no, we're actually going to announce that next week, though. We were trying to hopefully to do it today, but we wanted Amber to be here as well, so we want to make it a big thing like that. So anyway, but thank you so much, guys. We've got a big show for you. We got so many things going on. It's been very, very busy. We're going to be catching up. We've got the Elvis Christmas greeting today, one of our main traditions, because it is the holidays. At 10:20, we're going to have our buddy Paul Preston talk to us about movies for the holidays, for the Christmas season, and also some of the big ones that are coming out, too. And there's something that I was really, really interested in to see if he caught up on this. Well, I'll be also be talking about the passing of David Prowse and Abby Dalton. COVID Christmas itself, it's going to be here, guys, what's going on with it. Something's going on also at the Brea Olinda School District. And then our last tradition for today, we will be dropping the Yule log.
I love that.
I know you do.
My favorite.
I know you do.
I can't wait.
So there's our show for today, guys.
Now, don't forget, you can interact with the show, commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com, or find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show. That is so important for us and keep us going. And, of course, today's theme song was Cozy COVID Christmas by our dear friend Justin Bowler. I promised him I would play this song. He sent it to me during the week. I thought it was hysterical. I'm like, dude, you got to get this out. You got to get it out to other radio stations. Send it out to other radio stations and everything. It is just so good. I love it. And that's all of Justin's vocal. That's him singing.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's awesome. He did a beautiful job on it. So go to iTunes. Normally we tell you to go to Amazon, which is our main sponsor. But the thing is that Justin just put up on iTunes. And do a search, Cozy COVID Christmas. And by Justin Bowler, it's a great song. Download it, sell it to your friends, play it to your friends, whatever. Do whatever you can. But in the meantime, do go to our website, click on our Amazon banner, and do all of your holiday shopping on Amazon. I know, look, COVID's here. We're going to be doing it. I'm going to be doing it and everything. I'm going out very little and doing all my shopping on Amazon. So just use our banner to do that. That way we could stay on the air. Can you imagine? 4 years.
Shut up and take my money.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah, it's almost 4 years.
Yeah, just it's coming up pretty quick.
Close.
pretty quick. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Right.
Okay. I've got an announcement to make real quick, guys. And I wanted to do this at the very top of the show because I thought this was very interesting. And we don't know when they're going to do it yet or anything like that, but we'll find out. Of course, you know, we just had our elections to figure out, you know, who's going to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Biden won by a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Except in states where it really matters, mm-hmm. and then it was like,
right.
really close.
Yeah. But I mean, he got the 306 electoral votes.
Uh-huh.
He won by a landslide. So,
and that's a direct quote from the current president.
That's why I keep saying that.
That is a landslide, 306.
Yeah, 306 is a landslide.
Yeah.
So anyway, here in Southern California, though, there's a city called Brea. And they also had the voting for who was going to be on the school board district. It's called the Brea Olinda School District. And to kind of catch everybody at what's going on here, basically the race was for the trustee Area 5 seat on the school district board. Now, it was a real nail-biter. Apparently, it was between two ladies, Lauren Barnes and Gail Loins. Now, Laura won by one single vote,
mm-hmm.
okay, which was 1,805 votes versus Gail Loins, who's been on the board for a number of years, at 1,804. So it came down to that. Well, apparently the incumbent, Gail, wanted to have a recount. You know, it came down to one vote. I don't blame her, you know, when it comes down to that.
Well, yeah, that's just
so
basic.
Right. So they started on December 2nd. Laura paid the $4,000 to have the recount. Well, they found out that one person did not mark the ballot correctly. Instead of marking it in the box, it was off to the side. So when it went through the machine picked it up correctly in saying, I'm not voting for any one of them. And it just disregarded it. So they did the whole recount by hand. And when they noticed it, they went to that person and said, who did you want to vote for? And they basically told them, they went, okay. So they put an amendment on that vote itself. Because of that, it is now tied between the two ladies. Okay? So how are they going to figure this out? Well, they're going to figure it out this morning. We are waiting for them for the Brea Olinda School District to break in with a live feed on YouTube on how they're going to do this. Well, it turns out, according to the bylaws of the school board, they have to throw lots.
After all that, you just now comes down what is chance?
What does that mean exactly? What does that mean by throwing lots? Well, basically, lots shall be determined by the winner, and it's either a game of chance. You could draw cards, you could flip a coin, but what they will actually be doing is taking it literally. Of course, lots is an old term. Throwing lots or casting lots means rolling the dice. So that is how they are going to determine who the winner is in this race. It's not by votes. It's, you know, they got a tie.
Well, I'm glad they didn't decide to flip a coin.
Yeah, no kidding. So what they're going to do, apparently, and we're going to break in whenever they do the live feed on this. So basically, each candidate will roll a pair of dice, and the two numbers together to combine, whoever has the highest number will then be the winner to be determined. So we're actually following this very, very closely right now. And then after that, the winner of the dice roll will be sworn into the office on December 14th meeting for the district. So that's where we're at right now. So I wanted to bring that. I thought it was very interesting on how
I like that
this is going to happen. You know, so now we just got Zach is going to be keeping track of it all throughout the show.
Hi.
And finding out basically when, you know, this thing will air. So, in the meantime, right now, though, we do have a sponsor for us that we want to play for you guys. Our dear friend, Swampy Marsh, co-creator of Phineas and Ferb. A friend of his took over the Irwindale Speedway. You know, out there in Irwindale where they race the cars and stuff, whatever. Mm. It is one of the last racing tracks here in Southern California.
I know. It's weird that it might go away. That just seemed to be, because I remember when I was a teenager, one of my good friend's father was on the board for Lions Drag Strip over here in Long Beach. And
yeah.
We used to go there all the time, and it was so cool, and eventually they closed that, and it was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, COVID, after basically this guy took it over, who's a friend of Swampy's, and they are basically, they've actually turned this thing into a profit now after so many years of it being not a profit. So they're trying to keep it open. So they are doing something very, very special this Christmas. We're going to post it up on our Facebook page and spread the word out to the Swampy has tried to get a hold of every friend that he knows to help them out. And they're going to do it like a drive-through kind of Christmas thing. So, Zach, can we play that commercial real quick,
experience
please?
This season's Christmas-like wonderland from the comfort and safety of your own vehicle. The Irwindale Speedway has been magically transformed into a spectacle of light. From the safety of your car, see festive exhibits that will bring your family's Christmas spirit to life. You will actually get to drive through the show and see Santa, his reindeer, Santa's village, and the world's largest Christmas light tree, and so much more. Come together to experience the magic of light. Tickets available at www.santaspeedway.com. Spaces limited. Reserve your day and time now.
And once again, that is santaspeedway.com. That's where you want to get your tickets. I haven't figured out or found out how much they're charging, though, but I would say, you know, go with a bunch of friends, pile in a car, divide it up or whatever, you know, however much the tickets are going to be, and just go out and have a good time. We don't want the Speedway to go away. This is one of the last places where they even host celebrity races. So it's very, very important for the community overall in general. So we want to get the word out on that, too, as well, and help our friend Swampy out. All right, guys, let's catch up real quick. Steve.
Yes.
How was your week, bud?
Uneventful.
Really?
Yeah. Sunday we went to the open mic. It was earlier. So I guess that's a...
Yeah, that's true. Exciting. Yeah, yeah. I got to play drums again.
Yeah, yeah. So. I was glad it was earlier because as we finished, it started to get a little chilly.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why Ray did that overall. Because normally we go from, what, 5 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, summer hours are a little bit different because the sun's out a little bit longer. You know, it doesn't get dark until about 8, you know, in Southern California.
It gets dark at 4:30.
4:30, 5 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, man.
Streetlights come on a lot quicker now.
But, you know, I always look forward to watching Emily play the accordion.
Oh.
She gets into it, y'all.
Yeah, she does.
It's like, yeah.
And I love those, really I love cool. those pants that she was wearing, too. Those hippie-type pants.
Hippie
I love those on women.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what size you are, you know, literally. I mean, it those always look good on a woman. I don't know what it is. Very, very attractive. But no, we had a great time, yeah, doing that Sunday. But yeah, we went, what, 3 to 7, I think it was?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun. But other than that, you didn't do anything else, or?
Oh, he hit me up for more edibles.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I forgot to do.
I'm down to my last
because
one.
Of edibles.
Uh-huh. Couldn't remember. Yeah, okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm. No, I'm feeling really good today, and I got the cost for the Speedway thing.
Oh, okay. How much is it?
Entry is $59 per car.
That's not bad.
So as many people as you can
get
legally fit in your car, I guess.
Yeah, and then divide it up between.
So you can get 5-6 people in a car. And
be like, what, 15 bucks a piece or something like that?
Yeah, 10, 15, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. That's
it's
really good.
And I guess there's lots of different dates and times.
Yeah, so make sure you get your tickets for that, guys, and then also reserve your time and everything. So. Yeah, definitely do it. It's gonna be it's gonna be fun.
I had a fun week. It was just kind of cool.
Relaxed, chill.
Yeah, I'm riding my bike now almost every day.
Oh, cool!
And the weather's been other than when like Thursday I couldn't do it because there was so much smoke outside from the Silverado fire.
Right.
And but the other days I was able to ride my bike, go to the park, and eat lunch or something. It's nice to get out into the
areas. Just the surrounding area.
Just outside.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
You know what's funny about the fires is I've gotten to the point where whenever I look outside, I know there's a fire, and then it's just orange. It looks like apocalypse outside.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the point where us in Southern California are just going, it's going to be one of these days today, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was really weird because that morning, whatever, I could see the cloud, the smoke just coming in, and of course, you know, we had some major Santa Ana winds here.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was insane. Was it Wednesday night going into Thursday?
Yeah. It actually blew some roofing tiles off of our house. So.
One of our trees broke off the branch out of the ground.
Wow.
So, I had to come and clean that up.
Yeah, that was me. It's like, so I had to pull my train stuff that I had outside inside because it blew a lot of stuff around and everything. So did that. And
yeah,
then
blow the whistle on that one.
Pretty much did, absolutely. So now it's in the house. And then what else I do? And then got to smell the smoke and everything like we're talking about. But yeah, it was kind of a chill week for me. The only thing I really worked on is I was working on some vocals for some advertisement stuff that I'm doing for production stuff. And because even though things are going in reverse right now, it's like I want to get myself prepared to go out and play the restaurants and stuff and everything like I had been. But everything's kind of, you know, slowly shutting down again and kind of being quiet. I went to Lucky John's on Thursday, and there was like 3 people there.
Still not.
And yeah. And it was outside too. So
yeah, I think people now are starting to go, well, I don't agree with it, but I don't know. Maybe I should, like, take it easy for a little while.
And stay safe.
Stay safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they don't believe it.
Yeah. So, and I'm kind of glad I brought the train in, too, because I think that's what's going to happen. So it's like I'm just now going to start working on that during the holiday. So
you also had a little addition to your family this week.
Well, for a short time.
And actually 2 additions to the family then.
We're listening.
Yeah.
One of them's green.
Oh, good
well,
God.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
even...
yeah. Well, okay. So last week, of course, we took the week off because we had Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we had Thanksgiving at my mom's house.
Oh, that's right. We didn't have a show that day. So, yeah, that was something.
There's something else that we did, too.
It's been 2 weeks since we did
2 weeks,
this.
Yeah. So, and we had a good Thanksgiving. You know, it was nice. We had a smaller bird and everything and so forth. But it was a nice dinner. It was a good dinner.
It was. It was really good.
But my son had his birthday recently. And, of course, my sister Michelle, she decided to give him Grogu. And if those of you who are not familiar with what that is, Grogu is the name of the child that is on the Mandalorian show from Star Wars. Everybody calls him Baby Yoda. It's not Baby Yoda.
It is to me. I'm sorry. It became such a thing. No one's going to look at Baby Yoda now and say, "Oh, his name is that and that." And it's going to be as funny.
Grogu.
Yeah. Well.
And one of the things it does is it puts its hand up and does the Yoda thing.
So
it's kind of cool.
Christopher, Do you have Grogu with you there? Or?
No, because I left him downstairs.
Okay, all right, no worries. We'll get it later on. Whatever. And it does these kind of cool things or whatever.
Yeah.
But then we were also babysitting a friend's dog for her,
Precious.
Too.
Precious.
Precious, which she's my such a great dog.
Precious.
And we took her over to my mom's for Thanksgiving, and the two dogs did not get along.
Yeah.
Well, my mom's dog is very... I don't want to say aggressive, but just like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing?
Hyper.
Very hyper.
Hyperactive. That probably is the best word.
Yeah. And so the thing is Precious, the dog we were taking care of, it's like, bitch, stay away.
Yeah. It was like, you know, she didn't know what was going on because the other dog was just,
it's like,
so
just
in her face.
Chill, relax, you know? So we put her in the room, whatever, and, you know, and my mom's dog was walking around and stuff, but, keep them apart for a little while, and they were fine after that. So, but yeah, that was about it.
They're both cute. You know.
They are. Yeah. They are in different ways. In different ways. So, because once my mom's dog calms down, then it's fine.
Yeah, she can be okay.
She can be totally fine.
Just needed to go run her around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. Do we have Paul with us yet? Or?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and talk to our good old buddy, Mr. Paul Preston from the Movie Guys. Hello, Paul.
Bum, 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 bum. They would.
Technical difficulties. One second.
They would.
Sorry.
Oh, I know why.
Ah.
Fixed it. Paul.
There we go.
Here we go.
So much singing. I can't tell if I'm even being heard.
Now you are.
Or if I'm even necessary. Just keep singing for next 15 minutes. Perfectly good segment.
Hollywood. Yeah, let's put Justin back on.
Whoa, don't go that far.
Let's put a song on right now. Here you go.
Decorations up since spring.
Have you heard this yet, Paul?
Emily, I've heard parts of it. I got to give the whole thing and listen. Isn't it on like subscription-based Apple Music or something?
No, I bought it for 99 cents.
Oh, okay. You can still do that? I mean, I know. Now you got to like buy Apple Music if you want to listen to anything on iTunes.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes.
Anyway. So how are you doing, buddy?
I am well. You know what? The movies are screwed, but there's still some pretty good ones coming out.
Well, what do we got going on? What should we be watching out for?
Well, it's my favorite time of year. It's, you know, award season. So even though I'm not getting out to see a lot of stuff like I normally would, some screeners are coming in. And I've seen what I think is the film to beat for Best Picture of the Year, and that's One Night in Miami.
Okay.
The Regina King-directed movie, if you think there's, you know, after Watchmen and winning an Oscar, can she do anything else? Yes. She made this film about Muhammad Ali beating Sonny Liston in Miami back in the 60s, and he's with Malcolm X. They go back to the hotel room, meet up with Sam Cooke and Jim Brown, and it's kind of, well, what happened in that hotel room? And it's fascinating, filled with good performances. I was just like wildly emotional at the end of it. Great movie.
Nice.
Coming out on Christmas.
Very cool. Very
giving
cool.
you an advantage.
That sounds really good. And I mean, especially because recently I've been watching a lot of documentaries. So, you know, this is kind of along that same line kind of a thing.
Now, what was the name of it again?
One Night in Miami.
Okay.
Write it down.
Yeah. You know, and they're all good performances. You got Leslie Odom Jr. playing Sam Cooke, if you'd liked him in Hamilton. You got Aldous Hodge as Jim Brown. He was
talking about
MC Ren. He played MC Ren.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, yeah. Okay.
Good Lord.
Now I really know who you're talking about.
And he was also an Invisible Man, and he's really good. And so he was good as Jim Brown.
Oh,
too. But
wait.
This guy,
an Invisible Man, is he the one that was the girl's cop friend that she was living with?
Correctamundo.
He actually was Samuel L. Jackson's nephew in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Whoa, he goes back that far,
goes
huh?
back that far. Yeah, I had a friend tell me that, and I was like, wow, because I've seen that movie so many times. But yeah. Sean's like going, where did this just got hijacked?
All right, what's next, Paul?
If you want to see something hardcore, I recommend Promising Young Woman. That also opens on Christmas. You could tag it the way the girl with the dragon tattoo was tagged back when that came out, the feel-bad movie of the holiday season.
Ooh.
But it is good.
That's hardcore.
Mm. One of Carey Mulligan's best performances, and I'll spare actually telling you anything about it. So many of the movies to talk about. If I say anything about this one, it ruins it for you. Don't watch the trailer. Just see Promising Young Woman. Okay. It's intense. Really good. And there's something on Netflix called Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey.
Oh, we just watched it last night.
Okay.
So
where's
good.
The hype on this movie?
It is so good.
Huge. It's this huge production. This is where I get bothered by Netflix. They just like put it out and that's it. Like what? This movie has massive musical numbers,
yeah.
A huge original plot, production design that's off the chart. It's like a Willy Wonka wet dream. You got good performances.
It is
so
good.
You got original music. John Legend's involved, and it's kind of like, oh, this is out now. Oh, this is out now? I mean, this is the greatest snowman. You got to like put this thing out with like a parade. I don't get how there weren't commercials all over the Thanksgiving Day parade. Like football isn't blanketed with commercials for this thing. Uh-huh. And plus, it's a fully representative musical full with black actors.
Yeah.
It's just like...
It is so good. I mean, we literally watched it last night. Forest Whitaker does the title role on it.
Oh, I like him.
And he's a toy maker is what he is, and he gets the secret ingredient for his success, but his apprentice steals his ideas, and he's left broken, and now he has to try and reclaim himself again overall. But it's really good. It has to do with believing in oneself and what you do. Alicia Rashad is also in it. There's some other actors that are Tony Award winning performers. I mean, they showed all the freaking accolades that they won, you know, on their credits. It's just amazing, though, on who's in it.
Sean, that was a very...
That was epic.
We don't need Paul at all.
No, I was just going to tell Sean there was a very, very elegant and moving description.
It was a
of this movie that I'm glad wasn't interrupted by the update on the Brea Unified School Board election. So you'd hate to be in the middle of something, you know, that says how, you know, affected you were by a film, and then like, hang on, they're rolling the dice.
Breaking news. Yeah, exactly. But have you seen it yet, though, Paul?
Oh yeah.
Oh god, it is so good.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's.
I'm so glad you brought it up. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it until I was invited to watch a Q&A with Forrest Whitaker and Anik and Nani Rose online. I'm like, well, I should watch this so I can go see what the actors are talking about. And I was like, I mean, just it's crazy. Netflix is amazing because they will greenlight things. Other studios won't.
Yeah.
But this lack of hype they put behind a movie's opening is disappointing.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking
out. Find it yourself.
Yeah,
it's totally worth it.
It's really good. Really, really good.
I got one more thing to recommend, then we need to talk about real quick about what's coming.
Okay.
But I saw Freaky at the drive-in.
Ooh, Freaky? Oh, yeah. How was that?
Recommend this to everybody.
Really?
So much fun. Freaky is takes something that's been done 1,000 times, a body-switching movie, and brings it to horror. So you have Vince Vaughn playing a serial killer who has this cursed knife, and right when he stabs a girl, you know, high school girl, typical.
Wait, did you say Vince Vaughn?
Yeah. Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
He stabs this girl and switches bodies with her. So now you got a teenage girl inside Vince Vaughn. He's, you know, girlying it up around the movie, and he's got this horrible, you know, bloodthirsty killer inside a cute little teenage girl. And they try and figure out how to manage their lives. Here's two things it does well. They set up early the stakes, you know, so that they're high. There's violence, blood. The movie's super gory. Here they have both really well. Like, this is a slasher movie, no doubt. But then they flip the script on it, and it's tons of fun. Dude, I tune in The Mandalorian every week, and it's like just characters talking about what they're doing. It makes me crazy. The plots are interesting. That one they had last week where it was like a Western meets a Kurosawa movie was probably the best one because there wasn't so much talking. Anyway.
The whole thing with the actress, because we finally get Ahsoka Tano as a live-action person for the very first time. She's been animated, all this. But there was yet some controversy behind the person playing the character.
Rosario Dawson.
I heard something about that, yeah. Back when she, I mean, there's controversy behind Gina Carano. This kind of, you know, they'll find something Giancarlo Esposito said 40 years ago and start giving him a hard time too. It's just, you can't win.
You know what, guys? I actually have a question, if I may, for mostly Sean, but I think Paul, you know this too. What is the connection with this character and Anakin Skywalker?
Ahsoka Tano?
Yeah.
She is the Padawan to Anakin.
When did he have a Padawan?
If you watch the Clone Wars.
Okay.
That is when he gets her.
So this is before Revenge of the Sith, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
And then now, if you watch the final season 7 of the Clone Wars, they actually finally finished it and tied it into Revenge of the Sith. And the last 4 episodes run parallel to Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, okay. So this episode kind of is a big deal.
This episode's a very big deal because she left the Jedi Order and she went off on her own, but yet she still somewhat practices the Jedi ways, basically.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and clearly not 100%, though, because when you meet her, she just is like bloodthirstingly killing people in the woods. I'm like, damn. All right, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so much a Jedi.
And then she's also in the...
She's just a regular person, Paul.
She is. She's just a citizen.
Yeah.
Don't discount her for who she is.
But she's also in the TV show also Rebels as well. She's part of that whole thing, which takes place right before... Which is the animated version. Takes place right before episode 4.
Wow. Okay. So, see, that's... I missed out on the whole Star Wars lore when it came to the animated shows.
Yeah. So this was a very big deal of seeing her for the first time.
Yeah, it's new to me too. I don't know. And apparently they're like recreating verbatim some of the animated shots, you know, in The Mandalorian, and then people are losing their minds and are talking about Thrawn, who's a character from that. I just don't know anything about it. So I think it's interesting.
Well, actually, Thrawn is from the extended universe. And then they brought him into Rebels, and then now they're carrying him into The Mandalorian. So, you know, and I think that's one thing I love about Jon Favreau right now is that he's actually bringing in all these different things from all the different Star Wars elements.
Give him Star Wars. And, you should have just gave him, never mind.
And bring in all the different elements basically into this one Mandalorian story, which is really good. And I think he's doing a great job of it.
Here, Paul Giggle, he knows what I'm talking about.
I'll give him points for that because I always praise Marvel for doing that. You know, every movie William Hurt shows up in Marvel, you know, people have to go, wait a minute, William Hurt, why do we know him? Oh, yeah, he was Incredible Hulk. Didn't everybody hate that? No, it doesn't matter. Marvel's going, we loved it. It's part of our universe.
Exactly.
You know, screw you. Here he is.
Yeah. And, and we're talking about the second version, not the first one that was done by Ang Lee.
Correct.
Where I think it was Sam Elliott that played Ross.
And that's the way he's been all this whole time. Ang Lee's just been very, very Ang Lee the whole time.
Anyways. You don't like him when he's Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Do you have more movies you're going to talk about that are being released
on
Christmas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because there's one that hasn't been mentioned yet that I'm looking forward to.
Why don't you tell us what it is?
News of the World.
Okay, listen, I can't wait for News of the World. If you don't know, this is Tom Hanks.
I love it when Paul gets it. Okay, guys, look at it.
Listen, enough of the stupid puns. Enough Star Wars, enough nonsense. This is reuniting Tom Hanks and Paul Greengrass, the director and star of Captain Phillips, one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. Bloody Sunday, United 93, Captain Phillips, Green Zone, 22 July. He just keeps making great films. And now he's back with Tom Hanks in a Western post-Civil War. He plays a guy who delivers the news because that's how they did it back then. A guy would just show up in your town and say, here's what's happening in the world.
Yeah, I want to see this too.
And he gets involved in some kind of situation where he's got to return a 10-year-old girl who I believe was kidnapped by the Indians and then return her to her family.
Native Americans.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
2020.
You know who loves the word America attached to them? The Native Americans. They love America. Yeah. Please remind them how great America is every time you refer to them.
Hit a nerve, did I?
This is the best country we've ever stole.
La, 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 la,
la. Paul, there is one more I want to ask you about. I saw an article on this. I want to get your take on it. But apparently Francis Ford Coppola has redone or recut The Godfather 3.
Yeah, and it's coming out on disc. Man, I really wish it was coming to the drive-in so I could get a big screen look at this.
What is he actually doing with this one? I mean, what can he do differently?
Apparently, it's nothing new that's shot. It's a re-edit, perhaps using some old lost footage. Of course, they restored the whole thing. Picture and sound got an upgrade. I know the beginning and ending are different.
Really?
But again, not necessarily new, just changed up to reflect. I mean, we can talk about spoilers, right? It's been 30 years.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I always enjoyed the shot of Michael Corleone being alone in Italy and just kind of falling off his chair and being dead. Lonely, alone, you know, and I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. But apparently they're taking that out to kind of reflect that the real death of Michael Corleone was the death of his daughter. And so that's something I think they're reworking. And I think the new opening has something to do with his deal with the Vatican. They wanted to cut right to him immediately trying to escape his life. So hit the ground running with that.
Was there any reason why Francis came back to this film? Because it's already been shot. It's already been done. We know what it is. And I know a lot of people don't care for the film that much. I still like it personally. You know, so how much of this change is it going to restructure the canonization of the story of Michael Corleone?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to find out. But again, without shooting anything new, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot that affects like the first two movies. Uh-huh. You'll just see this rework of the third act. I mean, even calling it like the coda is weird because like a coda usually means like, oh, they tacked on a different ending. Whereas here, of course, that ending will be 3 hours. So and then they spoiler alert right in the title, but then again, yeah, again, you should have seen it by now.
All right. Well,
this is a not bad movie, but also not a great movie. So it's always kind of left people like, meh. And I mean, I think everyone was pretty disappointed that Sofia Coppola couldn't step up and give a performance like every actress who wanted that part back then. So many of them, you know, right. They're all lobbying for it. And then Sofia got it, I think, because of that last minute swap out from Winona Ryder, who came down with like exhaustion from overwork.
Wow. Wow.
But then Sofia Coppola went on to win her own Oscar and is a fantastic director. And her new movie, On the Rocks, with Bill Murray and Rashida Jones, is one of the best of the year. So she's found her groove. And you'll see from The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone, her groove was not acting.
Paul, it is always good to hear you, brother.
Yes, everything sucks, but don't go out on that. Don't let me go out on that. Watch Freaky. Don't miss One Night in Miami.
Jingle
and
Jangle.
Look forward to Promising Young Woman. There you go.
And Jingle Jangle. We got to watch that, too.
That is fun.
Yeah. Always good to hear you, buddy. And hopefully you have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year as well, because you're going to be taking the last 2 weeks of the year off as well. So that's why we got Paul on today.
I was wondering, do you want to say something about Christmas Eve?
Oh, Christmas Eve?
Yes.
For those of you, of course, who knew Karen Volpe, my wife, who passed away a year ago, I'm not spending that year sitting around, you know, being sad. I'm going to celebrate her life over at the cemetery where she currently is. So if you know me and you want to be part of that, get a hold of me and we'll make it happen, especially you guys if you're free. It'll be a daytime thing so you can all get home to your families for the actual eve.
Okay.
But definitely want to celebrate as opposed to just sit around and reflect sadly.
I might just take you up on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be good to see you guys from a distance, of course.
Yeah, we'll be over
the cemetery. There's plenty of room.
Yeah, well, we'll be over by the space shuttle, you know, because I know where she's buried at, and there's the space shuttle a little bit away. So
right, yes, yeah. Did that on purpose. Gonna have a good view.
All right, brother, you take care of yourself.
Bye, bye, guys.
All right,
bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh God! But that movie Jingle Jangle, we watched it last night, and it was very, very good, very good. So, well, one thing that we love to do here, especially during this time of year, is carry on certain traditions that Mark and Brian did. And of course, there's so many, especially during the holidays. So the first one we're going to do is the Elvis Christmas greeting. Now, for those of you on the East Coast, how do we explain this here? Basically, Elvis had put out a Christmas CD, and on the record actually, and on the record was a sticker saying "Special Christmas Message from Elvis." So, you know, Mark and Brian saw, they had to get it.
Yeah,
they had to get it. The king was going to be speaking.
And it wasn't just a Christmas. It was a special.
It was a special Christmas message.
Yes.
So.
One thing we can all agree on is that it's special.
Yes.
And
yes,
it is. Christmas.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, we this is a tradition with us now that we have to get this out for everybody so you can begin to set yourself in the Christmas mood. Now, we know, hey, COVID's around. We know that. We get it. But nonetheless, this is the start of the Christmas season for us,
and
basically.
It's a good way to get into the depth.
It's a great way to get into it.
Depth of what Elvis felt about Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. And what it meant to him.
Mm-hmm.
What it meant to him. So,
and it means a lot to all of us, too. When you hear it, you kind of go, wow, that's... that hit.
It's inspirational.
It is.
You know, it's very moving. It's very touching. And that's the wonderful thing about this and why it's become a tradition with not just Mark and Brian, but now with us as well and carrying on their tradition. So, and the guys know that we do it. They love that we do it. So now for all of those of you in Delmarva, so that's Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, we're giving you this wonderful Christmas gift.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. That feels so good.
I'm feeling better about the holidays already.
But, does it uplift you, though, Zach?
I'm literally doing the show from the ceiling right now.
Steve, how do you feel right now?
It's indescribable.
Christopher, how do you feel about it?
I feel amazing.
I think, you know what, though?
I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
You feel the warmth.
Wow.
You feel the warmth. You feel the texture of it, the depth of what he had to say.
It's almost like he had a bunch of actual writers with him to write out the
look at his films.
Exact words that he needed to say. Yeah.
Like Kissing Cousins, whoever probably helped him with this. You know,
thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Oh, God. Oh, you can hear it from the heart. I mean, it comes from the depths. It just regurgitates from his soul.
I definitely hear. I feel some regurgitation for sure.
Play it again. Let's see.
Yeah, let's see. Hold on.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
There's definitely regurgitation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's that regurgitation. Oh. You hear that warmth. It's the warmthness of the regurg.
I feel something
warm. I'm so inspired.
Yes, you know, it is just so awesome.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
And then the singers in the background.
Yeah.
It's uplifting. So it's angelic.
I bet those are the writers.
They could be the writers.
Yeah,
I think it might be the writers from like Clambake. Or maybe
Viva Las Vegas.
Or Viva Las Vegas. Yeah. Or maybe Blue Hawaii, because that was a good film.
Kid Creola.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
So there you go, guys. Elvis's Christmas greeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't feel like I can go on until I hear one more time.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Okay, I'm good. I got my fix. I'm good.
We can now say that Christmas is on its way because we've heard from the king. We've heard from the king. Oh, my gosh. So good. So good. So, you know, last time we were in the room together, it was 2 weeks ago, basically, you know, and we read a few awkward stories, sometimes that we do, you know. Now, one of those stories, though, was one that you read, Steve, and it was about different types of perfumes.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that one. The unusual perfumes story.
Right. Yeah, and there was some that smelled like barbecue.
Yeah, there was one that smelled like a horse.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there was even one that smelled like a village in Holland, where it has all the smells that are related to this particular village.
I remember that one because of the things they used to recreate the smell of the village.
Well, to refresh our memory, you know, the perfume was a mixture of hay, herbs, spices, and cattle. So
I can smell it right now.
Yeah. And because of the whole idea was to bring the smell of the countryside to the city, because the perfume company basically wanted to remind us city folks of, you know, what it smells like in the country, you know, especially if you're in Holland, because, you know, each countryside smells a little bit differently, I guess.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, fuzzball.
Okay, can we mute intern's mic? Okay, it seems that perfume is selling so well that an American company has just launched a similar product, and we at Your Weekly Dose have an exclusive, and we have a promo for it. Zach, will you roll that promo, please?
Her scent hypnotized him. He was intoxicated by her essence. But what was it? Bakersfield.
If I had to have her, it was her perfume. It drove him mad.
Bakersfield. It reminded him of home. It reminded him of Bakersfield.
Where they first met, and where they went to see Dwight Yoakam concerts and drink Coors Light till the sun came up.
Bakersfield. Introducing Bakersfield.
The new perfume from Ralph Lauren. Bakersfield.
This new fragrance really captures the true essence of Bakersfield. A town where everything happens, yet not that much happens in Bakersfield.
The new perfume is the perfect mixture of chewing tobacco, vinyl seat covers, fresh tar, Quiznos.
I miss those.
Panty cheese, dirty storage units, cow and horse urine, and community college. Bakersfield.
So when a woman wears Bakersfield,
you can almost swear she is the town of Bakersfield.
Now, don't be fooled by those other imitators that smell like Chino, Northcote, or even places like Colton or anywhere else in the Inland Empire.
Accept no imitations. Get the original Bakersfield. He could never forget her.
She stunk so good that it hurt.
Somewhere between Visalia and Palmdale lies...
This hurts.
Bakersfield. Oh, my God.
That's a budget.
Somewhere between Visalia and Palmdale.
Bakersfield.
Oh, man.
Next is going to be Santa Ana.
The smell of smoke.
The city of industry.
And burritos.
Action.
Hey, you got the people listening at Delmarva.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a whole different scent from the East Coast.
Exactly. You know,
the smell of fresh rain and snow and fog. That's New Jersey.
I was going to say New Jersey, yeah.
Thinking of New Jersey Airport.
New Jersey. Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
Jersey.
New Jersey.
Where everything goes right. Jersey. Oh.
Gardens of dumps. Rivers of different colors. New Jersey.
A rainbow of colors in the water.
The reason why the Statue of Liberty faces the other way. New Jersey.
Jersey.
New Jersey. All right. Anyway, all right, guys. So, we're on such a high right now. I hate to bring this up. I really do. So, you know what? I'm going to do it quickly. You've seen it in the movies, but unfortunately, it really happened. Darth Vader has passed away.
Oh.
Yeah. David Prowse, who played the actor who played Darth Vader in the original Star Wars trilogy, apparently died, damn it, of COVID-19.
COVID.
Yeah, he passed away last week. Apparently, his daughter was the one who confirmed that her father was suffering from Alzheimer's, and then apparently he got COVID while he was there at the hospital. So, Mark Hamill posted something on Instagram saying he was a kind man, much more than Darth Vader, actor, husband, father, member of the Order of the British Empire, 3-time British weightlifting champion, and safety icon in the Green Cross Code. Lucasfilm also praised Powers on Instagram, noting that the commanding presence and imposing physical performance of Darth Vader was truly his. So sad to see him go. And he always loved to see when certain things were trending about him, you know, or regarding Darth Vader.
Wow.
So also, Falcon Crest star Abby Dalton passed away at 88 years old. She won an Emmy for her role in Falcon Crest. She passed away on November 23rd here in Los Angeles. She started her acting career basically in the 50s with a certain project with director Roger Corman, and worked her way up through there. But unfortunately, she didn't get the role until 1981 for Julia Cumson in Falcon Crest, which was a primetime soap opera. I think that was like, was that related to the Colbert? No, that was something different. I think Falcon Crest was on another network or whatever. So, anyway, but it was pretty cool.
It was like,
did they deal with wine?
She was on Young and the Restless, which was a daytime soap, and Falcon Crest was kind of like a primetime soap thing.
Yeah, because I think it was with the Dynasty and the Colbys. That's what it was, and they were battling with Falcon Crest,
right,
which is on another network. So. But a beautiful lady, too, as well. So, Abby Dalton, she passed away at 88. So,
88's not bad.
No, it's not. No. And when you get there, man, you're going to see some serious shit.
Well, I've still got 17 years, though.
Woohoo!
Man, I could have a whole new career in 17 years.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Damn right, buddy. As we mentioned earlier, too, COVID Christmas, it's going to happen this year, guys. Things are being locked down. So many different things. I saw this one, though, from the BBC. So this is really interesting of what's going on in England right now and how that country is handling the situation, because things in Europe are also
everywhere in the world
are going up. It's just really ridiculous. But they did something a little bit different, and this is why I wanted to read it. They're suggesting Christmas bubbles.
Tiny bubbles.
But Christmas ones, though. So
tiny red and green bubbles.
Yeah. Basically, what they're talking about is where... they're going to allow up to 3 households to form their own little bubble of people that just will constantly just be interacting with each other. And that's basically it. I thought that was a pretty smart idea, too, as well.
Seems so.
Yeah. So they're going to allow that. And that way it will hopefully help those, you know, who are dealing with being alone, especially if you're single, you're living alone or anything like that, you know, it helps them. Of course, smaller turkeys are going to be on the table this year, you know, because
less people,
you know, normally if you've got 10 or 12 people, whatever, at your Christmas dinner, it may be down to 5, even if you're in this so-called bubble or so, you know?
I just flashed to a Christmas story where they went to the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And it had the duck. The whole duck.
Imagine a British version of A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's called A Christmas Carol. Never mind. Let's move on.
They're saying that a lot of work parties are now going to be on Zoom. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
People already be half dressed.
Exactly. So from December 2nd in England, people can meet up to five other people outdoors. In tier one areas only, up to five others indoors. Most of Scotland, people cannot meet indoors, but outdoors, depending on the area, up to six people from two households or eight from the same area can meet. So they've kind of got the same thing going on there that we have here in Southern California.
They may need some advice from Zach because that involves a lot of math.
Oh, I hate you. God, do I hate you. You guys, Sean, you want a story? Speaking of Zoom stuff, my friend had to help me do my math test on Zoom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's funny. Because he's still at his family's house for Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. I had to get the test done by Tuesday, and he just goes, look, I'm not going to give you the answers, but what I'll do is you do the problems, and if you don't understand something, I'll walk you through it, and then when we get the answers, I'll check on my end. So I'm sharing my screen.
Oh, that's funny.
And I just realized, I'm like saying to my friend, isn't this cheating? And he goes, depends if you get caught.
That's very true.
So, yeah, see, Chris is clapping for me. Thank you. You wish you could do this.
All right. So another thing that they're wondering of whether it's going to happen or not, and it's a situation here too in the States, midnight mass, is it going to happen or not? And how many will be allowed in there? So they're saying right now churches can only open up to about 50 people can attend indoor services in Scotland in levels of 0 to 3 areas, but only up to 20 people in of level 4 places. So kind of like, I guess, like Governor Newsom here, you know, have the different zones, you know, kind of thing, the tiers. They've got levels in England. Mm-hmm. Of course, shopping online. We've talked about this. It's the surge is going to be expected, absolutely, to where more retailers are pushing more discounts online, of course. So that's going to be a given. This was something interesting. And I guess it's a English thing, or which is watch a Ponto from your car. And I don't know what that is.
A what?
Ponto or Panto? So that's what it says. In theaters in England can reopen on December 2nd, but plans have been made for some Christmas pantomimes. I guess that's what it is. So kind of like almost like the drive-thru thing that we're talking about with Swampy's friend over at the Irwindale Speedway, something of that nature.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
So
that's what a pantomime is.
Yeah. So they'll be able to do that. So yeah, meanwhile, drive-in shows, car park, and Pontos will tour Great Britain with audience members watching from inside their cars. Yeah, so basically the same thing. And then also, of course, a quiet New Year's Eve. It's going to be very, very quiet. Nothing is going to be happening in London. All the fireworks have been canceled. And in Edinburgh's normally has a big, giant street party that every year. That has also been canceled due to COVID, too. So you know, they're going through the same thing. It's going to be different. You know, I know we're used to having our family party every year.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do it, obviously.
That was always so fun.
It is fun. It's a blast. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, as many years as my family has been doing it, and of course now it's down just to my mom and I, I would say we've been doing it, gosh, since maybe the early 90s or so. I think it's early 90s since I've been working at Knott's. This is the only second time we've had to cancel.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good record.
Yeah.
You know, last time was when an aunt of mine passed away. The funeral fell on that Saturday. And it was so funny because we're at the funeral and my cousins were coming up to me and my mom going, so when's the Christmas party?
You know, they should have had the gift exchange at the
funeral.
At
the gravesite. Yeah, exactly. And we're like, well, guys, it would have been today, you know, but, you know, your mom died. Yeah. You know, so hello. And so like, oh, okay, all right. But yeah, so this is the second time that we haven't done it in, you know, 30 plus years. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But things have definitely be changing around, so. So Zach, do we got anything going on with the Brio Linda? Anything?
I just got the news breaking right now.
Ooh, okay.
Hold on. We are going straight to YouTube.
All right. Live. Okay.
The fact that they had come up in board bylaw 9220, that in a case such as this, where an elected, an election did not generate a clear winner, we have a tie, that using the casting of lots. And so just a little backdrop in history, that's a generic term. So what does that mean? It means we could draw straws. It means we could pull names out of a hat. We could flip a coin. What we'll be doing today is both candidate Gail Lyons and candidate Lauren Barnes will be rolling two dice. Both will be using the same dice. So in the COVID environment that we're in, I will be cleaning them in between, but they will be both rolling those dice, and the net total combination of those two dice will generate a number. Lauren Barnes will be rolling first, followed by Gail Lyons. And in the case of a tie, which is not out of the realm of possibility in the world that we live in, but we will continue that process into another round until one of the two candidates has a higher number. And then the board will be accepting that with the eyes calling for that vote to just accept the outcome of the roll to, as the tiebreaker. Yeah, so.
He sounds excited. Right.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got
they're circling around.
All right, so there looks like they're getting the dice right now. Is that what they're doing?
And you may remember that I used the word a little odd, but here we are nevertheless. This is the cup for those cameras over here. Two dice inside for both candidates. I will have Lauren Barnes come up in just a minute and join me, followed by Gail Lyons. And to roll the dice, just for just so everybody is doing the same thing, I would ask that you both hold the cup away, roll them not looking in the cup,
Yahtzee,
releasing them on the table, exactly. And then we will record Lauren Barnes' total, and then I will clean the cup, clean the dice, and then ask Gail Lyons to come up and repeat the same process. Our assistant soup of business is going to be recording them on a whiteboard that we'll be able to see for those of you that are scoring at home. And our administrative executive assistant will be recording this in the minutes.
Wow.
Following the outcome of this, the board again will accept the results and we'll move on with the meeting at that point. So let me clean the dice.
All right, so he's wiping the dice down with looks like, you know, just a little one of those handy wipe things or whatever.
This moment brought to you by Clorox.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you, basically what it is, there was a seat here on the Brea Olinda School District here in the city of Brea here in Southern California. And these two women were running for the same seat. One won out the other by one vote. The loser decided to have a recount. When the recount happened, they found out there was an exact tie of votes.
And do the candidates have any questions before we begin?
Make
sure. Let it ride.
Make sure.
All right, I got all right. Five on black.
If I could have candidate Lauren Barnes come join me.
And so now they are literally rolling dice
to see who wins here. So
this is amazing.
Look into it, roll them and onto the table. Lauren Barnes has rolled a one and a one. So the
snake
total
eyes.
For Lauren Barnes is two.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. I think
we
know just who won.
Clean the cup and dice.
You mentioned all of that and you roll snake eyes.
Okay, it looks like the other person, they're wiping the cup and everything. That way not to transmit the COVID-19.
If I could have candidate Gail Lyons please come to roll the dice.
The judgment is coming.
Oh. Okay. All right. So now the second candidate is coming in.
Looks like a Home Depot cup.
And I think she's actually the incumbent because he said Laura Barnes was the first one.
I feel compelled to say a prayer for all of us. And so I just, if you would oblige me, I'm going to do that. You can.
I pray he cleaned those dice accordingly.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all you have given each one of us in this room, no matter the outcome here today. I would ask that you please forgive us for when we failed you and when we failed each other. And Lord, would you please bless our precious city of Brea with your abundant grace and the desperate healing we need that only can come from you. We ask that you flood our hearts, each one of our hearts.
Is she crying?
With your powerful
Sounds
gospel
like it.
Peace and hope eternal. Yeah.
And she just sniffed. I think she was crying.
Wow.
All right, back to the game.
And again, if you could hold the cup away, rattle the cup, not looking in it, and release the dice onto the table, please.
It's so exciting.
And she rolls.
And Gail Lyons rolled first dice a one, and second dice a two for a net total of
wow.
three. Lauren Barnes rolled a two. Gail Lyons rolled a three. Gail Lyons prevailed in the dice roll off with a score of 3-2.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Gail Lyons is the incumbent.
And thank you both candidates once again.
Wow. Won it by one anyway.
Wow.
Holy cow. Gee, many crickets. That is just amazing.
It comes down to the wire.
It came down to the wire twice.
Yep.
You know, I mean, well, three times if you think about it. You know, so, but
she lost by one.
She lost.
Counted, it was tied.
And then she won by one.
Wins 3-2.
Right. Gee, many crickets. So,
I was hoping she'd roll a one and a one. And it,
well, hey, that would be a snake eye. Almost did.
Almost did.
Almost did. Almost did. So, there you go, guys. That's how we do things in California. When the votes are tied, we play craps, basically.
Shoot. I always make sure you pray before you play craps.
Yeah, apparently it works, so, you know.
Carry the two.
Nine, a winner. So.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Exactly.
I'm actually going to Vegas at the end of January.
Dude, play craps, brother.
I know. I'm good. We ended up at the MGM Grand because I'm using my points from my little game that gets us like comped nights, and that was the only one that actually had any space available or rooms available, which is really weird because you would think that it would be less busy, but oh well. Sean was just handed a note and he's reading it right now, folks.
Yeah, so I was just going through the notes or whatever of who the incumbent was, and yeah, I was correct. So yeah, Gail Lyons, who won the roll by rolling a three, yeah, she was basically the incumbent, so she gets to stay on the board where Laura Barnes rolled a two. So, holy cow. So there you go, guys. Well, another tradition that we like to do here on the show, and earlier we actually posted to see if you guys, if there were any Christmas traditions that you guys have. Do we have anything on Facebook or...
Not with the traditions, but with the favorite Christmas movies, though.
Oh, okay, yes. So we also asked you guys, what were some of your favorite Christmas movies, you know, since Paul was suggesting? Mm-hmm. The new one called Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey, which is really good. So what do people on Facebook have to say?
So, okay, this is... So, with our Facebook posts, we usually include an image to help bring the visual aspect to the people on Facebook and Twitter. So for the Christmas movies, we had a bunch of different Christmas, a picture with a bunch of different Christmas movies. Home Alone is on that picture. Muppets, Christmas Carol, Santa Claus, Love Actually, Elf, White Christmas, Grinch, all that. Okay. And so, Art Gabaldon.
Okay.
I believe I'm pronouncing that.
Hi, Art. Hope you're doing well.
He says, "Where the heck is Bad Santa? That's my, that is by far
Karen,
my favorite one."
Me too.
My wife Karen loves Bad Santa.
Me too.
I watched it. I'm like, but okay, Bad Santa. Sure.
And what makes me laugh is that he or she also adds, "Need to remove some of that garbage like Love Actually and the Santa Claus."
Oh!
Oh my God.
I bet Art likes Bad Grandpa too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was your Facebook report.
All right, cool. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy.
One of the best lines in Bad Santa, Bad Santa is when the little kid, the little fat kid, he goes, you're really Santa, right? And he just looks and he goes, no, I'm an accountant. I wear this thing as an effing fashion statement. Oh, the movie's great.
All right. Well, another tradition of ours, guys, here is, how do we describe this one for our folks in Delmarva?
All I know is this is my favorite of all of them.
So, years ago, Disney would put out certain records that had sound effects on them. You know, the sounds of Thanksgiving, the sounds of New Year's, things of that nature.
It wasn't just music.
Right. And you know, like even when they did the Haunted Mansion, you know, I thought when I was a kid, I was going to get, you know, to hear you going through the ride of the Haunted Mansion. No, it was sound effects and torture and this and that and things that they created for themselves.
You know, happy things.
Yeah, exactly. So this one comes from The Sound of Christmas, basically. And it's a father and son who are dealing with the Yule log. And, of course, the Yule log, especially on the East Coast, is something that's very traditional. All of you guys can relate to it. But it's the way the father sounds that makes this tradition very unique. And I think that's the pinnacle point of this whole thing and what Steve enjoys the most out of this whole thing.
It's very touching. Very touching, heartfelt.
Yes.
Inspiring.
Yes. Inspiring at times, you know, for certain things. So, wow. Wow, Steve. I've never heard Steve snort before. Wow. That was pretty good, buddy.
I think we built it up enough.
God. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So, we are now going to give you Disney's version of the dropping of the Yule log.
Christmas Eve is probably the most exciting night of the year for children everywhere. At our house, the ritual is always the same. Mom hurries dinner out of the way so that the festivities can begin. First, I lay a fire in the fireplace. I pride myself on the way I lay a fire. To begin, I crinkle newspaper to put under the grate. Then I put in the kindling, breaking the sticks into the proper lengths.
So far, so good.
Then I bring in the Yule log and put it in the grate.
That's the biggest log we've ever had, Dad.
Yeah, and the heaviest, too.
Oh my God, that's just beautiful. Oh. Oh.
Oh. So there you go, guys. The dropping of the Yule log. So here on your weekly dose, the Christmas season has officially begun.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. So, what a way to go. And it's a big relief. I would definitely say that for sure.
Yep. I'd say that holidays have begun.
Yes.
Just with that.
Zach, can we try and give Amber a quick call?
Yeah.
Before we end the show and
let's see.
Let's see how she's doing. How you doing over there, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great.
That is just classic stuff. You can't really... it would be hard to create that for real, like to make it a joke.
Right.
And
that's just it. These were honest... I mean, these were professional sound men trying to see if they could recreate this.
Yeah.
Thing, you know, and
usually the good comedy is done seriously,
right?
So, yeah,
which I think is what makes Leslie Nielsen so popular too with,
yes,
with the airplane films and and Police Squad and everything too.
Maybe good. She's in the bathtub.
Naked Gun.
Yeah. Probably sleeping too, maybe.
Trying, in the bathtub.
Trying to get some rest.
Nice beaver. Thank you.
That just has stuff.
Stuff.
Please leave your message.
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's right.
That's okay. No worries. All righty, guys. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show.
Whoops, that's the...
Hear the bell. Time to sing. Decorations up since spring.
Just take it all in.
Yeah, exactly.
Wherever I roam. Fresh bread smell in every home.
We should call Justin then.
That'd be funny. You know what? You want
just my family and I.
Yeah, you know what?
Let's call Justin.
We got time left. We got time left.
Let's give it a
Justin's
shot.
In there. Justin Bowler.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that. And so that way you can tell him how you feel about the song, Steve.
Exactly. All I can say about the first. Well, I'll say it to him if he comes.
Yeah, up. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Let's see if he'll take our call.
What's up, my friend?
Justin Bowler, you are on the air with your weekly dose, brother.
Hello.
Oh, Justin.
Well, we played your song, "Cozy COVID Christmas," is our theme song.
I could tell you were a fan by the way you hesitated in saying the name. Maybe you'd forgotten. I hope not.
No, no. And we were just about to end the show and play the theme again, as we normally do. And Steve, you know, Steve's crying right now, basically.
Justin, I have to tell you, it's a great song and everything, but the first part of it, as you're kind of introing into the song, all I can say is Gino would start laughing and he'd do two snaps up for that. Can we
that
say
is, that's the best review I've heard of it yet, my friend.
Oh my God. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, Steve, last time I saw you when I was in studio, that was the last time I saw you guys. You had crazy, like, mountain man beard. Is it still? Do you still have the beard, or
no,
are you moved on to Santa Claus now?
No, that's gone. I'm not clean shaven, but it's just really short scruffle.
Okay, so you got the COVID scruff going on.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah.
Now, Justin, we've got two things that we did that we have started here today. And hopefully you should be able to hear them. So the first one, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Elvis had a wonderful Christmas greeting. And we want you to hear this, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Did you get that?
I heard it, yes.
How does that make you feel, Justin?
It makes me feel like the king is how it makes me feel.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
On the inside, it makes me feel like I got a hunk of burning love.
But doesn't that just say Christmas to you, though?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest. Back when you were first able to...
Oh,
did he just get into a car crash?
I don't know. Justin?
Sure, before they went after everyone. Yes.
Oh, okay, we lost you for a moment.
Yeah, then all of a sudden we hear, and I'm like, did he just get into a car crash?
How horrible would it be to die on air?
I know. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh,
you just hear, call.
Yeah, well, we heard something that sounded like a honking horn or something like that.
Like a Mack truck just rammed into your...
Well, there is some construction going on in my house, so maybe that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've got a buddy over, and we're putting in a new medicine cabinet, and it's getting out of hand. But back to what I was saying. You know what? Elvis is... I know. Those medicine cabinets. You have no idea. Oh, my God. You dig into the walls. There's critters and varmints living in there. Oh,
well, then, Justin, insanity. This should make you feel better.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Yeah.
It does. It does. Elvis's Christmas album has always been one of the best out there. Absolutely.
And for that reason, that message right there alone stands on its own for, you know, the last, what, 70 years that he's passed, you know, or whatever.
I completely agree. Yeah. Has it been 70 years since
I think he would have been, what, 70 or 80 this year?
Yeah, I think it was.
It's been about, 45 years, I think, since actually he's been gone?
72?
No,
like
76
that?
Or 77, I
76?
Think.
76? There you go. Yeah.
Well, there's another thing that we want to give you too, Justin, because, you know, nothing says happy holidays. And since all three of us, you, Steve, myself, have worked at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Nothing says like dropping the Yule log.
Christmas Eve is probably the most exciting night of the year for children everywhere. At our house, the ritual is always the same.
Gets better,
Mom
brother.
Mom hurries dinner out of the way so that the festivities can begin. First, I lay a fire in the fireplace. I pride myself on the way I lay a fire.
Somebody laughing.
To begin, I crinkle newspaper to put under the grate.
Now, these are professional sound effects.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear the paper fold.
Then I put in the kindling.
Exactly.
Breaking the sticks into the proper lengths.
Now comes the best part.
Then I bring in the Yule log and put it in the grate.
That's the biggest log we've ever had, Dad.
Yeah, and the heaviest, too.
Justin Bowler, Merry Christmas, brother!
Merry Christmas, guys! Merry Christmas!
Ah, damn it, we're going to have a cozy COVID Christmas.
I hope so, with your family oh so near.
Yeah, absolutely. real quick, man, what made you decide to write this song?
My wife, first off, I was suffering from lack of creativity during the course of, or creativity expression, how about that, during the course of the pandemic.
Right.
And then my wife was like, you've got to do this. You've got to create it. And I thought, nah, there are going to be 100 songs out there about this. And simply because there weren't, I was like, we got to end up doing it.
Right.
So I did. Yeah.
And Justin, tell Steve how you did this. I mean, you told me when we were talking and everything, but tell Steve how you did put this whole thing together.
Well, I wanted it to be timely, obviously, because it's talking about COVID. At the same time, I also wanted it to be kind of traditional, if you will. So there are actually many riffs in it that are regular holiday songs.
Right.
They're public domain, of course, so I didn't have to pay anyone for any rights or anything.
Yeah.
But like the top, right off the bat, the first section of Hear the Bells is sung in the tune of Jingle Bells. Time to Sing, and Decorations Up Since Spring. You know, it's in the tempo of, or not in the tempo, in the tune of Deck the Halls. And then the next one is Up on the Housetop. It's in the tune of that. And then obviously we threw in Here We Come, A Wassailing, which is in there as well. So you've got a few of them that are thrown into also another great tune, in my opinion. So yeah, it's pretty Christmassy.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope it catches on.
Yeah, I told him.
Me too.
I go, dude, he's got a great song. He the person who did all the music, basically, they did it over the internet. And that's how they record it. And Justin would record his vocals, whatever, send it over to his buddy, and he would just mix it all and
that's
stuff.
That's cool. Yeah.
And got it done that way. They did a fabulous job of this thing. Did you enter that contest I told you about?
I did. That's happening. I did that, and also you had said go out and make sure that I email every programming director whose email address I can find, and
yeah.
I think I found roughly 1,000.
Nice.
that's not a joke. I found 1,000 of them, and there is a radio station in Kansas City, a country station, where the morning show guy said, hey, I want to put your song on my show. We're going to do it in a week. Is that cool?
Really?
I was like,
wow.
Kansas City, here we come.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, they got some crazy little women there.
That's right.
And don't forget, that's in Missouri.
Yes, it is. It's not in Kansas.
Not in Kansas.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Dude, that is, I told you, man, country, top 40 radio, classic rock, those type are going to have those morning shows, those morning zoo shows.
Yeah.
They're going to eat this up like crazy. And, dude, Kansas City, that's awesome.
Yeah, that I was very awesome, excited. Justin.
Cool, man. So, I can't wait for those royalties checks to come in for you, man. When you open up that envelope in 4 months, you're going to open up that envelope and you're going to go, 28 cents.
Exactly. You know? 28 cents. This is incredible.
Wow.
You know,
frame
book
that
the
check.
Cruise. Yeah, book the cruise. Exactly.
Exactly. Cruise right now.
Well, brother, we had to give a quick call to you because, like I said, we're just about to end the show. And we were starting to play the theme, and we said, you know what, let's give Justin a quick call.
I'm so glad you did. And I'm so glad, like, I was in the middle of working with my buddy. He's probably wondering right now, where on earth did Justin go? But it was like, I saw that it was you. I'm like, oh, I got, you know, Sean's calling. If it was a number I didn't recognize, in all honesty, I would have let it go to voicemail.
Well, all right.
I'm glad you picked up, brother.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm glad you
Me
picked
too.
Up. Well, once again, congrats on this song. It's a funny, hilarious song. And it's going to debut at a country station in Kansas City, Missouri. That's great.
Yep.
Very happy for you, brother. I hope this thing really takes off, you know. And, you know, you can buy your kids a Hot Wheel that they'll have to share.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One that's on sale.
There you go. This next year, when things get straightened out with the COVID and everything's cool, we got to get you and Paul and Ryan back in here all together and have a good time.
Absolutely.
I think that would be fantastic. As I recall, Ryan never made it last time, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, hopefully he can make it, although it'd be hilarious if we did it again and he wasn't
around. And he wasn't around. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he's the closest here, I think.
I know.
Oh, that's funny.
Go fig. All right, brother. Well, listen, you get back to your cabinet, and hopefully everything goes well with that in the bathroom.
Yeah. Will do.
Make sure it opens in the right direction so you're not hitting the wall every time.
Oh, no, I got to go get my worker right now.
Oh, your face. You know, you don't want to hit your face, so yeah.
All right, take it easy, Justin.
Talk to you later. Have a great day, guys.
You too, buddy. Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas.
There you go, guys. That is the author of our theme song today, Cozy COVID Christmas. Check it out. It's on iTunes, man. Go buy it. It's 99 cents. I bought it, and, you know, I didn't make Justin go, dude, where's my copy? You know, fuck that. No. I buy my friend's music, so. All right, guys. Well, in the meantime, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter is at yourweeklydose1, and so is Instagram. And, that'd be it.
Yeah. If you want to see my one tweet a week, I'm on, it's at SilvaLining69. And then Facebook is Steve Silva.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I'm playing a third time. I don't even care. And I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram.
There you go. Hey, guys, if you want to follow me, I'm simply Sean R. Unplugged on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just follow me there. So, and hopefully I'll be playing out again soon. I'm kind of hoping for that. In the meantime, enjoy Cozy COVID Christmas by our friend Justin Bowler, and we will see you guys next week. Be good to each other.
Please be creatively safe this Christmas.
World.
Christmas will be different, warding grandparents away. Switch out your day pajamas for your holiday PJs. Love and joy come to you, and a COVID Christmas too. Just remember, it's the best time of the year. It's a cozy COVID Christmas, and it's...
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.